time now for the Minnesota Hockey Magazine Show. 30 minutes of nothing but hardcore hockey. The Minnesota Hockey Magazine Show is presented by Dave's Sports Shop, Pheasant Hills Golf Course, the Minnesota Wild, and MinnesotaHockeyMagazine.com. And now, with the Minnesota Hockey Magazine Show, here's your host, Pete Wagner.
And welcome to the Minnesota Hockey Magazine Radio Show, playoff style. The intensity picks up as it should, as Lord Stanley's Cup is bringing all sorts of twists and turns. Of course, the Minnesota Wild, Colorado Avalanche are in the midst of their first-round series, and we obviously have plenty to talk about, including the latest with Matt Cook, as we'll be joined in this program first by the St. Paul Pioneer Press, Chad Graff, and that'll be Carol Evans, Dave Schwartz. We'll hear from Chad Graff coming up right after this.
Looking for a free skate sharpening or a free roll of tape? Come into any of the Dave's Sports Shop stores and just mention MinnesotaHockeyMagazine.com and get either a free skate sharpening or a free roll of tape on us. Hurry in, as this offer is good for the first 200 customers.
Visit Dave's Sports Shop's three locations in Blaine, Fridley, and Stillwater. Dave's Sports Shop.
Hi, I'm Neil Broughton. For all your Minnesota hockey needs, go to MinnesotaHockeyMagazine.com. The best one-stop online source for all your Minnesota hockey coverage and information.
And welcome back to the Minnesota Hockey Magazine Radio Show. The news has just come out from New York. Matt Cook will be suspended for 7 games. If the Wild move on to their second series, it would extend into that, if not into next season. St. Paul Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com, own Chad Graff joins us. Chad, are you surprised by what's been levied?
I'm not all that surprised. It's about what I would have guessed. And keep in mind that they do, you know, the league and the Department of Player Safety does weigh playoff games more. So those who, you know, were outcrying 12 games, 15 games, whatever, you know, keep in mind that the playoff games are worth so much more to the franchise, to the player, to the league. So that's part of the reason that, you know, 7 games to some, I guess, doesn't feel like enough. But I suppose there are others, too, who say that 7 is far too much.
So when they take a look at the, obviously we saw the explanation, and they said that there was no attempt by Cook to get out of the way. When you do look at it in real time, it doesn't look as bad, obviously, as it does in slow motion.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly looks worse in slow motion, and I think the big thing is it looks worse when you realize who's behind sweater number 24. I mean, let's not hide anything. Let's be honest. The fact that this is Matt Cook weighed extremely heavy in this decision. It's part of the reason that, you know, it was in front of them. The injury is part of the reason that it was in front of them. There are a lot of factors. You know, it just seemed like this was something that got away from him. He was playing an outstanding game, an aggressive game. And this was a hit that got away from him. I think that he'll admit that. We haven't gotten a chance to speak with him. We're hoping to Thursday, but that may not happen. But I think he would be the first to admit that this went astray and wasn't intended. His coach admitted as much, but it's a fast sport, as Mikko Koivu said. This one just got away from Matt Cook.
If this were a player that had no prior history, what do you think the penalty would have been?
Well, it depends on the game and the injury. I think that it may have been...
Same circumstance. Let's say it's this circumstance.
I would guess that it would probably have been a fine and nothing more, though I think you could make the argument that there wouldn't have been a hearing at all. So I'd say anywhere from no hearing to a fine to perhaps, I'd say, very unlikely 1 game.
So what it really comes down to, it is a past history situation with the player and what the name was on the back of the sweater, kind of having to deal with the past history of the things that he's had to deal with the multiple suspensions and fines that have been levied his way. Now we get that out of the way, it seems like it's pretty much weighed on the series as far as the main story is concerned. Can we now move on, in your opinion, from an on-ice and off-ice perspective to getting on with Game 4?
Well, I hope so. I'm not going to say for certain, because I think that if the Wild win series, there are going to be Avalanche writers and bloggers and fans who continue to complain about the loss of Tyson Barry. So I think in a perfect world, you'd move on and not really look at this anymore, because I think that, you know, injury aside, you never want to see an injury. You never want to see a dirty hit. When you put all that aside and just look at what it means to each team going forward, it gets pretty close to a wash. I think that Barry brings more to the ice. I think that Cook brings more to his team off the ice. I hope that we can move forward. I know that the team and players hope that they can move forward, but I guess we won't find out until probably after Game 4 or after the series then.
The Minnesota Wild played a pretty close to perfect Game 3. The one that they needed to have resembled much of what they did in Game 1. Do you think it's something that they can control, that type of execution and effort on Thursday against, or tomorrow, if you will, against the Avalanche? Or do you think the Avalanche are going to have an answer for that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the Wild continue to say that so far they've controlled what's happened this series. They played sloppy in Game 2, which is why they lost Game 2. They played well in Game 1. They played well in Game 3. So far, you know, it's been largely dictated by them. You can tell fairly, very early on that in the second period of Game 2, the Wild weren't on it, and the Avalanche certainly took advantage from there and did what they needed to. But this series so far has been largely determined by what the Wild have and by the same token, have not done. When they've been on their game, the Avalanche have had little response. When they've been off their game, the Avalanche have capitalized very easily. So if the Wild can control Game 4, I think they have a very good shot at winning that game and going forward with the series.
What is your feeling as far as the tone of the team right now? How are they feeling about where they're at? Even though they're down 2-1, do they feel like they can control where they go in this thing?
I think they do. I mean, they talk a lot about Game 1, and the same token, they talk about not wanting to, you know, sulk in Game 1 too much, because they continue to bring it up in terms of, you know, they feel that they've outplayed the Avalanche in 2 of 3 games. You know, it's easy to sit here and say, you know, the Wild should be up 2-1 in the series, and you can certainly make that argument. I think it's a fair argument to make, but at the end of the day, it's an irrelevant argument, because the Wild are down 2-1. So the Wild understand that. I think that there's a big feeling of improving on last year, which has been a theme throughout the year. But last year, as we know, against the Chicago Blackhawks in the opening round, the Wild played well in Game 1 and lost just as they did this year. They didn't play that well in Game 2 and lost just as they did this year. They played very well in Game 3 but needed an overtime winner to get it just as they did this year. So it largely comes down to what they do in Game 4. I mean, last year they came out swinging in Game 4. They were playing well, and all of a sudden they couldn't capitalize on the power play. They lost Game 4 and lost the series. So I think that there's a big sense of urgency, not just regarding this series and this season, but when you look back to last season, this Game 4 is really their chance to show that, you know, they're a different team than last year.
Speaking of the power play, the Avalanche power play, which came into this one ranked 5th in the league in the regular season, has really been quiet here in the postseason, now with Tyson Barry out of the lineup. The crazy thing about how these things go, suddenly you never know that power play could start clicking. But let's say, at this stage, that has to be of concern to Patrick Roy and his coaching staff.
I think that's a huge area of concern. I mean, you look at all the skill that their power play has, and when they had that 6-on-5 that they scored on in Game 1, it just shows you how much skill they have up front. They're a team that's loaded with top-end talent. And they should be taking advantage of that on the power play. That was an area that I think coming into this series, we all would have agreed was a strong advantage toward the Avalanche. The Wild's penalty kill was not that great. It's going to take a little bit of a hit without Matt Cook. But they've really controlled it. I mean, there are some times when a team, you know, may not have a power play goal in a stretch, but you can tell that they're going well. They hit a couple posts. They get robbed by a good goalie playing well for a couple minutes. That really hasn't even been the case this series. I mean, the Avalanche have had few chances on the power play. It's been remarkable in terms of you look at what their top line was able to do in Game 1 and 2. They were able to dominate even strength play, but once they got the man advantage, they really didn't do much. So if the Wild can continue to play well on the penalty kill, that obviously bodes well for their chances in the series.
And their goaltender, Darcy Kuemper, really rock solid. Didn't see a ton of rubber in Game 3. Rebounds were minimal. He was square to the puck, appeared to be seeing it. You can tell by his body language when he's queued up for shots. If he's in his mode and in his way, much like he was during that hot streak, at least that was my observation. Do you feel he's feeling good, and is that what the team's talking about too?
Absolutely. It's funny, you go from Brizgalov to him, and Brizgalov would have some, you know, you're always paying attention to a goalie early in the game. Brizgalov would have some rebounds, he would have some plays early in games, and you'd shake your head and be like, my goodness, this guy's going to get lit up tonight. And then he'd go out and have a shutout, and you could never really tell with Brizgalov whether he was playing well or not. Kemper, I think, is the exact opposite. Pretty early in games, or at least during stretches, you can tell whether he's got the confidence or whether he doesn't have it. You can certainly tell during his stretch in January, and I think that you could tell pretty easily in Game 3. He was flipping the puck around, and you mentioned not seeing a lot of rubber. I think that's a bigger testament to what he was able to do in net in Game 3, because this is a guy who wasn't seeing a lot of shots, who was going large stretches without seeing the puck, and goalies always talk about that being, you know, the harder game than what Varlamov had to do, and that's not to take away from what Varlamov did, because that was an incredible performance that he had in Game 3 to nearly steal the Avalanche that game. But it is incredibly difficult if you're a goalie to go long stretches without seeing the puck, and I think that just makes Darcy Kemper's performance all the more impressive in his very first playoff start.
Can you go to the crystal ball for us? What do you think is going to happen tomorrow night?
Well, in Game 4 on Thursday night, I think that the Wild are going to win. I think that they're riding high on this confidence from Game 3. They know that they thoroughly outplayed the Avalanche. I don't think that they'll outplay them to the extent that that they did in Game 3, but it largely comes down, in my opinion, to Varlamov. If he's able to play even remotely to the same level that he did in Game 3, the Avalanche will probably get it. But if he plays, you know, even just a good game, I think that the Wild are going to play a good enough game. I think that their forecheck's going to be good enough. I think that you know, that top line of Parisi, Granlund, and Pominville is really going to start to click, and I think that the Wild will win Game 4.
All right, we won't hold you to that. Wild fans, get excited. Chad Graff for the Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com, said his crystal ball says the Wild have what it takes to come up with a win if they can get past Varlamov, which is obviously the biggest test. Chad, thanks. I know you're working really hard. Appreciate your joining the show.
Thank you, sir.
You bet. We'll be talking to Chad very soon. When we come back, Dave Schwartz from Care 11, and he is fired up. All that coming up at the Minnesota Hockey Magazine Radio Show.
Zach, Sammy, and Cole all have a very special wish. We're making those wishes come true. Hi, I'm Brian Dennehy. I want to be sure that you know about a very special wish-granting organization, Wishes and More. We enhance the life of a child fighting a terminal or life-threatening condition by providing extraordinary experiences and more. If you know of a child that we can help, or if you'd like to help us make wishes come true, please contact us. Thanks.
Welcome back to the Minnesota Hockey Magazine Radio Show. We're joined by Care 11's Dave Schwartz. And Dave, in a text message, you said you're fired up. I got to know why.
You know, there's consistency issues with the suspension of Matt Cook. And there's some things that bother me about it. Not the least of it, and I watched the video a number of times, and I know some people are going to disagree with my take on this, but I watched the exact same video with all the same replays that the Department of Safety did. In fact, I watched it on their website. And I disagree that he was completely trying to lead with his knee. His knee was out there. But if you watch that hit, Matt Cook is trying to hit Tyson Barrie with his shoulder. He is. And at the very last second, Tyson Barrie leans out of the way to try to get away from the check. And they say in the video, he should have anticipated Tyson Barrie leaning out of the way of a check. There's no way that you're ever going to anticipate someone leaning out of the way of a check. You expect a guy to try to, when he's going to hit him, to be hit. I mean, I don't expect that someone's going to die. You wouldn't expect someone's going to dive out of the way and leave their knees susceptible. And even more so, he is anticipating that he's trying to lean out of the way, which is why he's taking his body wider. I didn't see it as leading with the knee. I saw him as putting his leg and his shoulder out there and going wider to try to continue with the check. I understand what the player, what the director of, you know, the player safety is saying, but I disagree with it. I just did not see it that way. I didn't see it that way the other night.
You know, and what I saw was a guy that moved the puck, had a straight-on collision about to happen, and you saw the initial line that went from Matt Cook straight to Tyson Barrie. It went straight to him. And then Barrie, of course, self-preservation is going to get out of the way of the oncoming hit, so he turned to his right. And when you watch, you know, when you skate, your knees are bent. They're not straight up. And Cook was turning to his left to still address him on the hit. At the end of the day, I have said this. You are responsible for your elbows, knees, stick, and everything else that comes about. And if a knee hits him, brings him down, it is kneeing. And I don't think anybody's debating that. I think the thing that stands out to me the most is this is a penalty because this suspension of 7 games is because it's Matt Cook. And that's not going out on a limb. I mean, but let's be honest. I think they did everything they could to explain that if this was somebody else, it probably wouldn't have been 7 games. If not one or two.
Said that. I was actually surprised that they were so candid
in
the description on the website that where they literally said, we are taking account his past history. When the whole, and this is my question, and I pose this to Twitter, what's the point of having a designated period, in this case 18 months, where you would determine someone's history, you know, clean, so to speak, where they're not a repeat offender? And I understand it has to do with wages and what you can suspend them. But why even have that, what you can fine them? But why even have a period and declare someone no longer a repeat offender if you are in doubt, in fact, still factoring in their past when levying a penalty?
So you still are factoring in the past, and you are a repeat offender in history.
Don't say he's not a repeat offender anymore if you're still treating him like a repeat offender, because you know he is. I know he is. Everyone who watched it knows that if that's someone else, it's not a 7-game suspension. It's still, Matt Cook got factored in the 4 to 6 weeks to Tyson Barrie, so the Wild are saying, so the Avalanche are saying it's factored in, all of that factored into it.
Let me ask you this. What do you take of all of this stuff that's being written first in the Denver Post and now right here in the Twin Cities in the Star Tribune?
Being written about what?
Well, I mean, just I don't know if you saw the Denver Post piece that was written
about Eric Johnson's comments.
This was a piece written of written in the Denver Post about Matt Cook and being public enemy number one, and you know, kind of more of an emotional piece. And then it was followed up by a piece in the Minneapolis Star Tribune that Jim Suhan wrote.
Yeah, I did see that.
And basically, I'm going to say it because I'm on a podcast. An article was written in July that basically said this was the worst move the organization could make, and you know, basically calling out Mike Yeo and mostly Chuck Fletcher for signing a guy like Matt Cook because he's a bad apple, quote unquote. And basically, I have a feeling that this story that came out today was written the day after, and he was just waiting for something to happen to publish it and say, "See, look, I told you so."
Well, and once again, the period of an 18 months doesn't clear anyone's history anywhere, not in the NHL and not in the court of public opinion. I never had a problem with Matt Cook. I watched the way Matt Cook played this year. I watched him in that game. In fact, later on in the game, he had an opportunity almost nearly exactly the same as Tyson Barrie. I forget who the player was, but he completely threw himself and backed off the hit. Matt Cook actually played a phenomenal game the other night, other than that hit. He was everywhere. And guess what? It's the playoffs. And you know what? The one thing that the Wild had to do to win that game was put a body on Nate McKinnon and shut down that top line. And every time Nate McKinnon was on the ice and Matt Cook was on the ice, he gave him a shot. That's exactly what the Wild wanted him to do. I am not condemning a knee-to-knee hit or injuring guys. I am saying, however, if I'm Mike Yeo and I look at the body of work of what Matt Cook did the other night, he's getting a pat on the back for me and saying he had a heck of a game. I just, you're never going to clear up your reputation in the NHL. I think Matt Cook's tried. He has not gotten into controversy this year. This is a one-time incident, and again, my judgment call was that I felt like he was not I did not feel like he was trying to knee a guy. I really don't. Because more than anything, Matt Cook wants to win and have the team win. And you saw that the other night.
Well,
you can't do that.
The thing I pointed to was you had two officials on the ice that had a good look at it. They settled on a minor. I don't even know if they really talked about it after they called the penalty. You looked at the reaction from the player. Usually when you're taking a cheap shot on a guy, you're typically turning and looking quickly for someone to be coming at you because you know what's coming, if it's intentional. But when you get to the terms of intent in the situation, everything is completely different. I think this thing has been so incredibly blown out of proportion beyond belief. Players do, and it's unfortunate, having played the game, having been hurt in the game, it's unfortunate, it's a bummer. And it's part of the game. And yes, we are responsible for all of our limbs and all of the twigs that we use and everything else. But at the end of the day, the good news for this for the NHL is you want rivalries, and this is a great way to get them.
You know, everywhere Matt Cook goes, it's a rivalry. And I remember, I remember people being furious. I remember people being absolutely furious when he signed with the Minnesota Wild. And I went out on a limb. I said, trust me, you're going to like him at some point. And the funny thing is, I got a text message from a friend the other night who said, how much is everyone loving Matt Cook now, you know, after that happened. But I guess there's no way around it. You knew he was going to get suspended, whether it's 4 or 5 or 7 games. No, there's no consistency, and I get that. You know, you look at some of the past kneeing penalties, they were not 7 games. Obviously, they factored in Matt Cook. Obviously, there's no way of getting around that. But it just bothers me in the sense that I really didn't get the feeling from watching the way he was hitting, from knowing what I know, because I also, you know, I played hockey for a number of years, knowing how you go in on a check and open ice, and I've said this 100 times, I feel like I've said it 100 times over the past 2 days, you go to check someone open ice, you're getting a wide stance, you can cover as much ground as you can if they try to move. And that's exactly what Matt Cook was trying to do. Unfortunately, his knee and Tyson Barrie's knee were exactly where they needed to be for that to occur. A couple inches one way or the other, and we're not talking about a suspension because Tyson Barrie's just got a Charlie horse.
At the end of the day, Matt Cook has to stop, and that onus is on him, and therefore that's a problem. But this is not an Ulf Samuelsson, Cam Neely, I'm ending your career, knee calcium deposits to the thigh type of situation. They're two totally different things, in my opinion.
I would agree with that. I agree with you. I do agree completely.
What is your story? How are you working this one up over the next couple of days? What is Dave Schwartz's angle on the Wild and the series? Where do you go with this now?
I was actually in the middle of writing about Matt Cook and then the penalty, and then the fine came down, the suspension came down. And I'm going to continue with what I'm writing, which is, yes, this was an isolated incident. Yes, he's going to be suspended, but let's not all freak out here and declare Matt Cook the dirtiest player the NHL has ever seen, the worst Minnesota Wild player ever. Let's treat this like it is, which is an isolated incident for a guy who has really tried very, very hard to rehabilitate his image and change the way he's played the game, and he can still very much be a factor on this team this year, well, if they go on to the next round, but for years to come. He's a good hockey player. He's a good guy to have in a locker room. And frankly, he's a guy who gets on the ice during the playoffs, and he's the one guy that completely sold out in that game and did everything he had to do to try to win. There were a lot of guys. They played the greatest game ever. There's no doubt about it. The Wild played an amazing Game 3. But he was everywhere in that game that they needed him to be, and he did what they had to do. So my column this week is a public appeal to let this one go with Matt Cook and not consider him public enemy number one. And let's just move on from this and let this guy contribute for a couple more years.
I think Mike Rupp's elbow to TJ Oshie was a lot more vicious than what we saw the other night. That's my take on that. And we're not talking a word about it.
I think Seabrook's hit to David Backett was a lot more vicious than what we saw the other night, and he only got 4 games.
Again, that was intention. That was intent to injure. That was an elbow. That was an elbow extended to the head, and that was meditated. That he knew what he was doing, and he planted it, and he got it done, and he got off with 3 games. It just doesn't make much sense. And I'm not coming off like a whiner here as far as, personally, I think Nino Niederreiter is going to do a terrific job, step right in and do what he's going to need to do to be effective in that position. I just don't understand the thought process of not having a history, quote unquote, under the CBA, but having a history.
Yeah, that's basically, to me, I've gone through the same thing. What bothers me about what you lose from Matt Cook in the locker room is a veteran presence, that you, the guy that you need, one of the guys that you need to get you through the series, to just keep everybody in the locker room calm or get them excited, you know, whatever you have to do, a guy who's been there before, and you lose that. I mean, Nino Niederreiter's a great player, yes. As far as physical on-the-ice attributes, he'll step in just fine. He might even be, you know, a little more athletically talented, but you lose a guy in the locker room, a guy who can really be an asset when you lose Matt Cook for the rest of the series.
I asked Chad Graff, I'm going to close with this on you as well. Emotion aside, check it at the door. Your crystal ball, what do we get tomorrow night? Who's going to win that hockey game?
Oh, boy. It's a great question.
I'm running out of battery there.
What's that?
My phone is running low on battery, and it lets you know. Sorry about that.
I'm going to say the Wild are going to rally around this a little bit. This is nice bulletin board material, frankly, for both teams. But I didn't see, you know, the Avalanche knew what was going on the other night when Barry was hurt and not in the locker room, and I didn't see a whole lot of fire out of them. So I see the Wild being a little fired up about this, thinking it's a little, you know, like you said, there's a little bit of injustice here, and going out and getting it done. And I think that win the other night was, I mean, I was there. The talk about relief that finally some of these guys could get bounces to go their way, and that finally those goals that should have gone in went in. I think that something really clicked with the Wild the other night, and I think they can apply it again. And I think if they execute the same game plan as they did earlier this week, that yeah, they can win that game. And then it's a whole new series going out to Denver.
Oh, goodness gracious, it's getting interesting. This is what it's all about. It's the playoffs. You've got series all over North America right now, especially the United States. Montreal is yawning right now as they come up with the sweep. How about the San Jose Sharks absolutely destroying the LA Kings in their series right now? It's been quite an impressive run so far. In the midsection of the country, we've had some great playoffs, especially with the Central Division. So we are keeping our close eye on this. And for the Minnesota hockey fan, if the Wild can come up with a series victory to even get into the next round, I think it makes it so much more compelling to work yourselves through the month of May.
It's fantastic. I mean, you know, the new playoff system, so to speak, with the Wild card, I mean, it's worked out so well. The games have been so close. The series have been so hard fought. And you couldn't ask for better drama right now if you're the NHL. I mean, certainly you hate when guys are getting suspended, but yeah, you're creating rivalries, and you're creating some great matchups that people just love. And for the average hockey fan, it's compelling. For the hardcore hockey fan, it's just fantastic.
And you've created plenty of discussion. It's been outstanding.
Yeah.
So we will have more to discuss after the Wild and Avalanche play on Thursday night at the XL Energy Center in Game 4. As the series continues, the Avs lead it by a score of 2-1, and we'll see what shakes down. Dave, thanks a lot. Good luck with your coverage. I know you're going to be wall-to-wall busy tomorrow.
All right, brother. I'm looking forward to the game.
All right, take care. Dave Schwartz, Care 11. That's going to do it. Thanks to Chad Graff for joining us in segment number one. The Minnesota Hockey Magazine radio show comes to a close. I'm Pete Wagner. So long, everybody.
This has been the Minnesota Hockey Magazine Show. The Minnesota Hockey Magazine Show has been presented by Dave Sports Shop, the Pheasant Hills Golf Course, the Minnesota Wild, and MinnesotaHockeyMagazine.com. This has been the Minnesota Hockey Magazine Show.